ओम हरिः ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभं व्यास शंकर मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्तां वंदे गुरु परंपरां श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति शांति शांतिः ओम भद्रं कर्णेभिश्रुणुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैः स्तुष्टुभागंसस्तनुभिः व्यशेम देवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ओम शांति 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 प्रज्ञानां शुप्रतानै स्थिरचरनिकरव्यापिभिर्व्याप्यलोकान् भुक्त्वा भोगान् ओके प्रज्ञानां शुप्रतानै स्थिरचरनिकरव्यापिभिर्व्याप्यलोकान् भुक्त्वा भोगान् स्थविष्टान् भुक्त्वा भोगान् स्थविष्टान् पुनरपि धिषणोद्भासितान् कामजन्यान् धिषणोद्भासितान् कामजन्यान् पीत्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् पीत्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् स्वपिति मधुरभुं स्वपिति मधुरभुं मायया भोजयन्नः मायया भोजयन्नः माया संख्यातुरीयम् माया संख्यातुरीयम् परममृतमजम् ब्रह्म यत्तन्नतोऽस्मि तन्नतोऽस्मि यो विश्वात्मा विधिज विषयान् प्राश्य भोगान् स्थविष्टान् स्थविष्टान् पश्चाच्चान्यान् पश्चाच्चान्यान् स्वमति विभवान् स्वमति विभवान् ज्योतिषस्वेन सूक्ष्मान् ज्योतिषस्वेन सूक्ष्मान् सर्वानेतान् पुनरपि पुनरपि सर्वानेतान् पुनरपि शनै नेतान् पुनरपि शनै स्वात्मनिस्थापयित्वा हित्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् सर्वान् विशेषान् विगत गुणगणः पात्वसौ नस्तुरीयः पात्वसौ नस्तुरीयः विगत गुणगणः असौ तुरीयः नः पातु We are seeing in this Advaita Prakaranam, Gaudapada Acharya's whole focus is on establishing the oneness of reality through the negation of the cause. There is no such a thing called cause at all other than Brahma. There is no karanam. If there is no cause, how can there be karyam? There is no effect also. Whatever seems to be there as effect is only seeming, the seeming appearance of that only Brahman, therefore Brahman alone is. This is what he wants to establish. But we have to see what that Brahman, what is there is only Brahma, and I am that only Brahma, therefore I, the Brahman alone, am here as the whole. This must be the final vision, therefore where is the bondage, where is the freedom? Everything is mithya, isn't it? This is a fact. This is not cock and bull story. This is a fact. This has to be understood. This has to be dwelt upon. This must be assimilated. This must be ascertained. So that we should enjoy that freedom which is not attained, which is already there, claiming it, isn't it? As our own swarupam. Therefore, we saw this 24th verse. Just read the verse once and go to the portion where we left yesterday. Nehanana, nehananeti cham nayat. Nehananeti cham nayat. Indro maya bhirityapi. Indro maya bhirityapi. अजायमानो बहुधा मायया जायते तु सः मायया जायते तु सः सो ही प्रेजेंट्स थ्री डिफरेंट कोट्स फ्रॉम कोट्स हियर नाना न इह नाना अस्ति इज अ मंत्र ऑफ कठोपनिषद From this Amnayat, from this Upanishad mantra also, we understand there is no plurality. Upanishad, he presents these statements of Upanishads as the Shruti Pramanam. Come on, what Shruti, whatever the Veda says is a fact, and if we don't understand, we should try to understand that fact. This is the proof here. Veda says there's such a fact. What does Veda say? Iha nana, na iha nana asti. There's no plurality of beings. Which means it's only appearance. Then, Indraha mayabihi. This is another statement. Indraha mayabihi is another statement from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So, that also states what? That statement also says, only Brahma, only the Brahman enjoying the status of being the Lord, looked upon as the Lord alone, he shines as many forms through the power of Maya. Maya Bihi. The power of Maya means what? Really, there is no plurality. That's the idea. Then the second sentence, Ajayamanaha Bahuda Jayate Saha Ajayamanaha Bahuda Maya Jayate. Being unborn, that Atma alone is as though born through Maya in many ways. Ajayamanaha, okay, unborn. Ajayamana, not being born, Maya Jayate. Not being born also, appears to be born, Bahudha in many ways, through Maya, because of Maya. It is this Maya. What is this Maya? Maya is the power. What is power? Can you explain? Inexplicable. Anirvachaniya. Undefinable. Why? Because you can't say it is real, because it has no independent existence. You can't say it is not real, it is, because it's still, okay, it's there. It's there as what? As means of making false appearances, isn't it? Where Maya is there. So we read that Bhashyam part actually already to have come to this point. So all these Vedic ityadi amnayah, page number 430 in Panology's book, I'm reading. Ityadihi amnayah dvaita bhava pratishedhartha. They're only meant for the negation of the duality. See, perception of duality is not denied, cannot be denied. Experience of the duality cannot be denied. What is denied, what is negated is mistaking that what is perceived to be real is negated. We'll be very careful here, okay? Here, dvaita bhava pratishedaha means what? The dvaita bhava, negation of duality means perception of duality is not negated, cannot be negated, because there is perception, there is experience. But what is negated is, even though duality is perceived, experienced, really it is not there. It is not real. It is mithya. It's as though real. It is empirically, relatively, objectively real. Absolutely it is not real. Because what the duality perceived has no independent existence. That's the idea. Therefore, tasmat, if duality is real, all these statements would not have been there. That is the idea. Okay? All these statements would not have been there. Ajayamano bahudha vijayate. Ajayamanaha bahudha vijayate puna sahaja mayaya. Being unborn is born as though through maya, as many for these statements, all the proof to say that reality that we are perceiving is not really there. It's as though. Okay, that's what he says. Daita pratishedhartha is, it is specifically meant for, what the purpose? It is for the purpose of negating the duality to be a duality as mithya, not real. Tasmate, today's class. Okay, here come to today's class now. Tasmat Atma Ekatva Pratipatyartha. Atma Ekatva Pratipatyartha Kalpita Srishtihi. This creation has been Kalpita. This creation has been, the whole discussion on creation has been presented, project, simply imagined in the Upanishads. For what? Specifically for the understanding of the oneness of the Atma. The creation, the duality is deliberately discussed the Shastram, imagined, it's only imagined, just presented, for the sake of understanding the oneness of reality. Atma ekatva pratipatyartha srishtihi kalpita. What is srishti imagined for? Creation is imagined in the Upanishads for understanding of the oneness of the Atma. Therefore, abhuta. Therefore, creation has not happened. Abhuta eva. Creation is not real. Really, abhuta eva. Creation is not real. It never happened. Like what? Prana samvadavat. We have come exactly to where we left. Prana samvadavat. Like the statements speaking of the dialogue of prana with other organs of actions. Okay? How it is not real. You know, definitely prana cannot have any dialogue with the organs. But Upanishads, there is a portion which present the dialogue happening between prana and other organs. And through this discussion, what Upanishads want to establish is the exaltedness of prana. How prana enjoys the superiority of all those subtle powers. That's all the idea. But really, we can't take it seriously. The prana samvada is real. How prana samvada, the dialogue of prana with other instruments, other organs, is not real. So also, the Vedic statements discussing creation also is not real. The creation is only imagined for establishing the oneness of the reality. And he again says, Indro maya bhihi. It's very quite important, you know. Everywhere Shakyamuni Pada presents this. Already we have discussed this. Indraha maya bhihi. Okay. Maya bhihi. Iti abhutartha pratipadakena. Maya shabdena vyapadeshat. See, in this statement, the Lord Indra, the only Lord alone, appears as many through Maya. Okay? In its statement, the very expression Maya, okay, the mention of that word Maya, Upanishad reveals only the reality, the universe duality being not real. Okay? Abhutartha pratipadakaha shabdaha. Universe being, the duality being not real. The non-reality of the duality alone is revealed by this word Maya. Okay? That's why the word Maya is used. Okay. So here actually the commentary on this 24th mantra is over. But still, the word, because he mentioned about Maya, why Maya Shabda is used? Maya itself, the very word, using this word Maya itself is for saying the universe is not real. It's as though, sorry, appearance. Isn't it? Therefore, when he said that, Ankara Bhagavatpada, and here Purupakshi comes. Why he has comes now with a doubt? Because the word Maya has different meanings also. Even though the word Maya always definitely means only the inseparable, inexplicable, unmanifest power of the reality. Otherwise said to be avidya ajnanam. Okay? That is the actual meaning of the word Maya. And that which really is not there, that which can come to an end. In this context, we have to remember something. The gross world can be resolved into subtle universe as mithya. Okay? The grass world can be, the grass universe can be negated as mithya and resolved into subtle universe. Because depend on subtle for this grass existence. The subtle manifestation also can be negated as mithya, resolved into causal universe. What is causal universe? Maya. So every time the problem happens also, the grass resolves in subtle, subtle resolves in unmanifest power. Directly. Resolves into Maya. Maya resolves into what? Its own source. Maya remains inseparably as Brahma, Atma. The Brahman alone is. That's why even in this universe also we can say, everything in this universe, without exception, everything in this universe comes in time, exists in time, is born in time, exists in time, undergoes changes in time, ends in time. Everything ends in time, isn't it? Everything ends in time. And finally, everything resolves into what? Maya. You can say, when in deep sleep state, the gross universe is not there, subtle universe is not there, everything resolves into ignorance, is it? That's why we say, everything comes in time, exists in time, resolves in time. The one thing which does not end by itself is Maya. The one thing which does not end by itself is Maya. Everything goes, comes, exists and goes. Maya never comes, okay? Maya is always there, already there. Because anadi Maya, but Maya doesn't end by itself, but Maya will end. Definitely Maya also ends only when the knowledge rises. In the wake of the knowledge of the truth in terms of what I am, and in the wake of knowledge of what I am, we understand what this universe is, we understand the fact there's neither I nor universe, what is us only Brahma. In the wake of knowledge of what I am, what this universe is, ignorance of what I am, ignorance of what this universe becomes result. Ignorance is result means Maya is not there. Isn't it? There's total ignorance, that ignorance is Maya. In the waking state, in human beings, there's a partial. Maya is in the form of partial ignorance and partially as knowledge in the form of the universe. Understand now? The knowing power partially manifest as knowledge is shining in the form of everything that is here. Only half knowledge, okay? Only half knowledge. And then the knowledge becomes total. Purnam vidya. Purnam jnanam. In the wake of knowledge of what this I is, what this knowledge is. Again, the knowledge becomes complete when you understand what knowledge is. Okay, the knowledge, what is this knowledge? You understanding the source of knowledge is the only way of resolving Maya. Understanding the source of knowledge is understanding the source of the power. Come on. Where does this power exist? What is this power? Which is in the form of ignorance, in the form of knowledge also. In the form of total ignorance, and which is in the form of partial ignorance, and partial knowledge. What is this knowledge? What is this power? Is it? What, understand the source of, you don't need to go and search for everything else. everything exists in manifest knowledge. Knowledge is not manifest, everything disappears. Don't worry about what. It has no independent, the known has no independent existence at all outside of the reality. Knowledge. So what is this knowledge? Okay, where does it rise from? Where does it exist? When it is there, everything shines. The knowledge is the light. Knowledge is like the light. Just as in the presence of the light, the world of opaque things shines, in the presence of knowledge, the world of duality shines. The world of countless number of forms, names and functions, the all material things shine. Everything shines, everything is happening shines. The world means the actions, the results of actions, laws, everything shines. Which means only when there's manifestation of knowledge, the world shines. Which means, what is this knowledge? Obtaining in the form of knowledge of self-existence, obtaining the form of knowledge of existence of the world. I am, this is. Ahamasmi, idamasti. Ahamasmi, idamasti. I am, this is. In the form of duality, the knowledge is there. As the existence of the self and as the existence of the world. That is why duality. We have twofold knowledge, isn't it? I am, this is. I am, this is. The duality comes where? In the very knowledge. I am, this is. What is this? Knowledge. Where does this come from? We are understanding the source of this knowledge. We don't need to, okay? You want to understand the source of this knowledge, you understand the source of all knowledge. The one and the only source of, okay? In our reality shows, the anchors talk about this, you know? The chief guest. One and the only. Like this here, Upanishads declare one and the only truth. Only source of all knowledge is available for understanding as the source of knowledge of the knowledge. The knowledge of the knowledge. Okay? The source of knowledge is the knowledge of the knowledge. The knower of the knowledge. So knower of knowledge is the knower of the ignorance. The knower, the source of knowledge is available for understanding as the what? Knower, only knower of the knowledge and ignorance. When you discover the knower of the knowledge, as the knower of the ignorance. Understand? When you discover knower of the ignorance is the source of knowledge. When you understand, knowledge is complete. Purnam jnanam. Got it? Purnam jnanam, total knowledge. Maya, where is Maya? Understand? It's only knowledge. This is how Maya is understood. Maya has to be understood. Therefore, some context, the word Maya has, you can say, Tejaha. Tejaha means brilliance, radiance. Because even Maya is ignorance, okay. But what is this? Unmanifest knowing power. That therefore omnipotency. That is why it's said to be Tejaha. Isn't it? Knowing power is omnipotency. Therefore, and it's also for what now? Prajna. Another word is prajna. The word prajna, prajnanam is a neuter gender word. Prajna is a feminine gender word. Okay, same meaning. Prajna means consciousness. Prajnanam means consciousness. Prajna also means vritti jnanam. Prajna means swarupa jnanam mainly. consciousness, pure consciousness. Prajna also means vritti jnanam, the manifest knowledge. Therefore, the Purupakshina was asking, what is a maya? You know, just because maya projected is not real, but the word maya, doesn't it mean prajna also? He wants to say, nanu prajna vachanaha maya shabdaha. So the word maya does not simply mean, okay, say non-duality is false. It also has what? It has the meaning as prajna. And we find such words in the, like a glossary, a huge glossary. Nighantu. Nighantu is a huge glossary of words. Okay. Where we come across. Therefore, he is asking. And Shakyamuni explains, yes. He does not refute his understanding. Satyam, satyam, the word, definitely the word maya also means prajna. Prajna means what? Prajna does not mean consciousness here. Here he says, manifest knowledge which rises through the perception of objects, through sense organs. He says, indriya prajnayaha avidyamayatvena mayatva abhyupagamat adoshaha. Yes, you are correct. He says, it is not wrong to say that the word maya also means manifest knowledge. So what? What is manifest knowledge? Manifest knowledge also, vritti jnanam. So here he says, the word prajna, he asks the word maya, does the word maya mean vritti jnanam, the knowledge? That's what he's asking. Yes, satyam, that's true. Indriya prajnayaha. Indriya prajna means what? The knowledge which rises in the form of a thought of objects perceived through sense organs. Indriya prajna is one word. Indriya prajna means knowledge of objects which rises in the form of a thought through the perception of objects. The perception of objects through the sense organs. Which means knowledge of the objects perceived through sense organs. Any knowledge of any object perceived through sense organs, okay, rise in the mind is what? Vritti jnanam. That vritti jnanam also is mithya only. Vritti jnanam is mithya. What is vritti jnanam? Vritti jnanam is maya. Maya manifest is vritti jnanam. Is it clear now? That's what he says. Correct. Maya manifest is vritti jnanam. One power alone is said to be vritti jnanam when it is manifest. When it remains as unmanifest, it is said to be ignorance. One maya alone is given two different names as ignorance and knowledge. How can you two different meanings? Yes, in different conditions. In manifest condition, the power is called jnanam. Unmanifest condition, it is called ignorance. Whether it is manifest power, is unmanifest power, it is mithya only. It has no independent existence. Got it? Very subtle here. Therefore, avidyamayatvena, mayatvam mayatva apyupagamat. Knowledge also has it just being maya. It understood in maya only, isn't it? Unmanifest power, manifest power. So knowledge also is maya. Maya manifest is knowledge, unmanifest is maya. Knowledge unmanifest is maya, maya manifest is knowledge. Or you can say what? Maya is other word for ignorance, avidya. Only power. That power is always mithya, manifest or unmanifest. So it is not wrong. What you say is okay, correct. He says, adoshaha, it is not wrong. But one thing what he makes it clear, that does not make duality real. Okay? See, whether maya, you take the meaning of the word maya as knowledge or as ignorance. We say ignorance caused duality. Duality is caused by ignorance. That's why it's maya. Maya in the form of ignorance alone, maya remaining in the form of partial ignorance alone, contributes for the appearance of duality and makes it look as though real. Understand? Therefore what? Therefore it's not a big deal. Anyway, maya is mithya, unmanifest is mithya, manifest is mithya. The source of manifestation alone is satyam. Being mithya, it is not countable as second reality. There is no second thing. There is no duality. This is the important point here. Therefore, maya bhihi, indriya prajna bhihi. So he says, no, Shankaracharya says, every vritti jnanam is maya manifest. Yes, maya bhihi means that all are mayas only. Indriya prajna bhihi, through these manifest cognitions, isn't it? Through this manifestation of knowledge in the form of cognitions alone. I mean, vritti jnanams alone. Avidya rupa bhihi, which are all in the form of ignorance only. Rupa bhihi. Ajayamanaha purusha bahudha vijayate. This unborn, though reality is unborn, it appears to be born as though because of this maya only. Because of this maya. If the power of reality does not become manifest, okay, there cannot be many, many countless number of vrittis. Vritti jnanam. The countless number of cognitions are not possible. Because of the manifestation of unmanifest power called maya, there are countless number of cognitions. And the countless number of cognitions are plural in number. Vrittis are plural in number. And the duality is because of these vrittis, aham vritti and idam vritti. But the consciousness manifest in all of them is one. Understand? Like countless number of opaque things are shining. But how many lights are here? Every opaque thing shines in the presence of the light. But light is one. One indivisible non-dual. Isn't it? In the same way, in every mind, countless number of cognitions rise. In the form of thoughts, in every cognition, what is in all the variable cognitions, what is invariably present is consciousness only, one only. Therefore, because of this plurality of cognitions, the plurality of objects outside experienced, this is how unborn also, one consciousness appears as though many through these manifestations always called Maya. So anything known is only within the realm of ignorance. Why is ignorance? The power only. Unmanifest, manifest is knowledge. The whole, everything is in the realm of ignorance. When I say everything is in the realm of ignorance, what does it mean? The whole world shines in the power of Maya, the power, power of reality, which is unmanifest is ignorance. Understand? Which is mithya. Tasmat mayaya eva jayate tusaha. Even the seeming birth of, there's no real birth, okay? There's no real origination of anything here. The seeming birth of jiva, seeming birth of plurality of beings, seeming birth of this universe is only because of this maya only. What is the example? How can you understand? Again, you have to analyze your own deep sleep state experience. Whenever you fall asleep, when you have sound sleep, you are there not knowing your existence, there not knowing the existence of the world, then what you experience is blankness of mind. Isn't it? Then whenever there's blankness of mind, what is experienced is the total ignorance. In total ignorance, you have no identity. In non-identity, in total ignorance, there's experience of experiencelessness, which is experience of bliss. Experience of experiencelessness is experience of absence of pairs of opposites is experience of bliss, isn't it? When that experience is there, then what happens? There's no duality. Even then you have non-dual experience. In deep sleep state, there is non-dual experience. There is no knower known duality. The possibility of non-dual experience is because of non-dual reality. Understand? Non-dual, possibility of non-dual experience is because of the non-dual reality, the consciousness. Therefore, then there's not that non-dual experience is there. Mithya. It has no independent existence. In the same way, experience of duality also is not real. Non-dual experience, dual experience. You have non-dual experience when power remains as Maya, total ignorance. You have experience of duality when the power becomes manifest as knowledge. It's all Maya. Maya manifest is dual experience. Maya unmanifest is non-dual experience. Any experience is mithya. And what is that? Because of the presence of which experience is possible, that alone is satyam. Experience is only appearance. Understand, this is how one and the only indivisible, partless reality, secondless reality appears as though this world of duality, as though many. Ajayamanaha bahudha vijayate. Mayayeva sahajayate. It's born only because of Maya. There's no real birth, really being born, isn't it? Seeming birth. Tu shabda avadharanartha maya eva jayate tu saha. That a tu, one small tu, one letter is there in that sentence. He says avadharanartha. Definitely this Ishvara is as though born because of Maya only. Okay? That means it is avadha is for emphasis. Isha does not really is not born. Reality does not become many. There is not such a thing called birth at all. It's only appearance caused by Maya. Okay. Iti avadharanartha mayaya eva iti nahi. I think this Purapakshi's question is good. It clarifies again, isn't it? You understand knowledge and ignorance both as one power. Nahi ajayamanatvam bahuda janmacha ekatra sambhavati. Now he says, birth, the origination, okay, and beginninglessness, ajayamanatvam, birthlessness and birth cannot happen, cannot coexist simultaneously on the part of one entity. Therefore, na sambhavati. How agnau shaityam aushnyam eva. Just as cold and heat cannot coexist simultaneously, in fact, shaityam can never exist. Okay? Never exist in agni. How wrong it is to say cold and heat coexist in fire. Okay? Two factors of opposite nature cannot coexist. First of all, but here definitely in the fire, heat is the nature that's all. Sorupam. There's no cold. In the same way, agno shaityam aushnamiva. In the same way, non-origination and origination cannot be there on the part of the Atma. Not being born, ajayamanattam is his sorupam. Birthlessness is the very nature. Beginninglessness is the nature. Timelessness is the sorupam. Timelessness, beginninglessness, changelessness being the very nature. How can you talk about the birth again there? Birth of the Atma. If we talk about the birth of the Atma, then it is like saying fire has heat and cold simultaneously in it as its very nature, isn't it? One and the same Atma, there cannot be birthlessness and birth simultaneously. Okay. Now his next sentence, palavatvaticha Atma ekatva darshanameva shruti nischitaha artaha. Don't forget, initially he was asking, how can we understand what is the actual core vision of the Shastram? What is the main teaching, isn't it, of the Shastram? How can I understand what is the teaching? So he explained all that. Now he says, therefore, finally he concludes, palavatvat Atmaika darshanameva. See, vision of the oneness of reality. Vision of the oneness of reality is Atma Ekatva Darshanam. Vision of the oneness of reality is the main teaching of the Shastram. And this teaching is also beneficial. Palavatvam. It has palavatvam. It has the status of being fruitful. What is the benefit? Moksha. We discover moksha, isn't it? Palavatvam asti. Therefore, as Atma Ekatva Darshanam, the vision of the oneness of reality being beneficial in terms of discovering moksha, definitely this vision of the oneness of reality is the core teaching, core vision of the Shastram. Iti Shruti Nischitaha Arthaha. This is the final conclusion. Of the Shastram. Then, he quotes the mantra from Ishavasya Upanishad. Already he says, next following mantra is going to be from Ishavasya Upanishad. So he says, tatra ko mohaha kashokaha ekattam anupashyataha. See, in Ishavasya Upanishad, the benefit of this oneness of the vision of oneness of the reality is mentioned. How it is mentioned? He says, tatra kaha mohaha. Where is delusion? How can there be grief on the part of a person who has this clear vision of the oneness of the reality? Ekatvam anupashyataha. For a person who sees the oneness of reality, who has the vision of oneness of reality, where is the grief? Where is the delusion? Means what? There's no delusion. There's no delusion. There's no grief for a person who has the vision of the oneness of reality. This is the benefit. Understand? There's no grief. There's no delusion. If there is ignorance, there'll be shoka and moha. These two are not there for the person. So that naturally is the benefit. So resolving grief to the resolution of moha, delusion, is the wish, purpose of this knowledge. Therefore it is palavad, it is beneficial. Ityadi mantra varnat. From Vedic statements such as these, where is the grief and where is the sorrow for a person of vision of oneness of reality? From this also, we understand this, the knowledge of the truth is meaningful, useful, beneficial. Mrityoho saha mrityumapnoti iti ninditatvat cha drishtyadi beda drishti, srishtyadi beda drishtehe. And also, the person of srishtyadi beda drishtehe, the person who is of erroneous understanding of this perception of duality, he is also criticized. We find the criticism of the person who mistakes the duality to be reality. As what? Such a person goes from death to death. Mrityoho mrityum apnoti. Mrityoho saha mrityum apnoti. That person goes from death to death, means he continues to be in this beginning, this endless cycle of birth, this ocean of samsara. He continues to be there. Who? The person who mistakes the perception of duality to be the reality. Is a beda drishti, isn't it? Who thinks this duality to be real, the world of purity to be real, such a person. The person of erroneous perception of the world to be real, he remains in samsara, which means the person of oneness of, the person who has the vision of oneness of reality is praised as the one who is free from grief and delusion. The person who mistakes the world of duality to be real is criticized as the one who continues to be in samsara. From these statements, we understand vision of oneness of reality is praised, and perception of duality being mistaken to be real is also criticized. This is very, very clear. It is the knowledge of the oneness of reality is beneficial in this attaining moksha. Therefore, that is the ultimate aim of the Upanishad. That is the main teaching of the Upanishad. That alone is the real teaching of the Upanishad. Is it clear? Now we'll go to the next karika. At last we have completed the 24th karika. 25th karika comes. Understanding Maya is very important, isn't it? In total knowledge, Maya disappears. There is no maya, ignorance anymore. That is why yama samaya. That which is not really. Now 25th karika. Here, Gaudapada Acharya, taking the meaning of two mantras from Ishavasya Upanishad and presents the teaching here. He says only one, but Shankara Bhagavatpada, when he comments upon it, he really brings in those mantras and explains it. And he, in this 25th karika, he uses two mantras, Upanishavasya Upanishad mantra and Brihad mantra. Two mantras. Okay, let us see here.
Sambhuterapavadacha. Sambhuterapavadacha. Sambhavah pratishidhyate. Sambhavah pratishidhyate. Sambhuterapavadacha. Pavadacha. Sambhavah pratishidhyate. Sambhavah pratishidhyate. Konvenam. Janayediti. Janayediti. Konvenam janayediti. Konvenam janayediti. Karanam pratishidhyate. Karanam pratishidhyate.
If it is literal meaning of the mantra first, then I'll explain. Okay. First, in the first sentence of the karika, Gaudapada Acharya takes the Ishavasya Upanishad as the reference. The second sentence, he takes the Brihadaranyaka mantra. He refers to the Brihadaranyaka mantra. In the first sentence, he talks about the negation of the creation. Sambhavaha. Sambhavaha in this context means origination, creation. Sambhavaha pratishidhyate. Origination, the creation itself is negated. There is no such thing called creation at all. Therefore, whatever appears is only as though. That's the meaning. There's no real. So what is this? Only Brahma. That is the final teaching. Sambhavaha pratishidhyate. Origination is, creation is negated. How it is negated? Sambhutehe apavadat. The word apavadaha means negation. Isn't it? So, Sambhutihi, please make a note. In Ishavasya Upanishad, all the words are used in different meanings. Remember, we did the first Upanishad taught here. Sambhutihi is a name of Hiranyagarbha. Sambhutihi is a name of Hiranyagarbha. Okay. Hiranyagarbha, what is Hiranyagarbha? We have to understand again. Hiranyagarbha is the name given to Ishvara. One of the names attributed to the Lord. Now the question is, who is the Lord? Who is given this name, Hiranyagarbha? The reality alone, looked upon as the one in the form of the subtle universe. The reality looked upon as the one in the form of subtle universe is said to be Hiranyagarbha. See, there's a gross universe, entirety of the gross universe presupposes the entirety of the subtle universe, subtle manifestation. Sukshma prapanchaha. Just as there are subtle aspects in every individual, we have corresponding total subtle universe. Isn't it? Subtle manifestation. The entirety of the subtle universe, subtle manifestation, looked upon as the Lord is given the name Hiranyagarbha. Okay. So what he says, we can, to appreciate it, even when you say Ishvara, when you say, there is no universe. Please understand, it's not, when you say the whole gross universe is Virat, when you say, you're already, you say there's only the Lord, there is no universe. The negation. In saying there is a Virat Ishvara, we are negating the world of duality. We are negating the world. There is no world of duality. What is there is only Ishvara. Then that Ishvara is the title given to the reality Brahma. Just all. So Ishvara is another word just used to mean the reality only. Okay. When you say the entirety of the subtle universe also, when you look at the subtle universe also as the Brahma, and the name given is what? Ishvara. Not only the gross universe, of course, subtle universe without which a gross universe cannot be, is also Ishvara. Then the name given is what? Hiranyagarbha. Therefore, when you say in the end, Sukshma Prapanchaha is Hiranyagarbha, there is no Sukshma Prapancha. What is there is only Ishvara. The minute you look, you add the Ishvara, there is no Jagat. Therefore, there is no Ishvara other than the truth. Understand? Ever here, subtle universe also is Mithya, gross universe is Mithya. Let us not talk about gross universe. There is no creation at all of subtle universe also. There is no subtle. Therefore what? Even the Hiranyagarbha status attribute also is not real. The Hiranyagarbha status attribute also becomes negated. Subtle universe also is negated. There is no creation. Let's just say that. Therefore what he says, in that, how it is taught there, I'll come back to it later on. Sambhutehe apavadat sambhavaha pratishiddhyate. By negating the, there is no Hiranyagarbha other than the truth. Hiranyagarbha is a temporarily attributed qualification to Brahma. As the one who is with the, as the one which is in the form of the entirely manifestation. Where is Hiranyagarbha? There is only Brahma. Hiranyagarbha is Brahma. There is no Hiranyagarbha other than Brahma. Therefore, sambhutehe apavadat, to the negation of Hiranyagarbha, what happens? The creation is negated. Hiranyagarbha is said to be the creator of the gross universe. Okay, there is no creator at all. Therefore, there is no creation also. Hiranyagarbha is said to be the creator of the universe. Firstborn. Hiranyagarbha is the firstborn. Then he creates the world. That's what is presented. So, there is no creator at all. To the negation of the creator, stating there is no creator at all other than Brahma, there is no creation also. Negation of the creation. It is shown where? In Ishavasya Upanishad. This is the literal meaning here. So, sambhutehe apavadaha means negation of the creator, Hiranyagarbha. Through that, actually, Sambhavaha pratishidhyate. The creatory creation is negated. Okay. The second sentence, he says, kaha nu enam janayet. Enam kaha nu janayet. Here, Gaudapada Acharya talks about a wise individual, a jnani jivaha. This quote is from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. But there in that Upanishad, it means differently, but here he means in the sense of a jnani jiva. Kaha nu enam janayet. Who can recreate this wise person? Who can create this? A wise person is Brahma. Jnani, the person who has discovered oneself being Brahma, one's own self is being the reality, is reality. Isn't it? That person cannot be recreated. Kahanu enam janayet. This is a statement. Who else, who can cause the birth of this person? Means there's no reason. There's no reason, there's no cause. By that, karanam pratishiddhyate, he negates the very cause. He negates the cause. Cause is negated through the negation of the creation of a jiva. And the creation is negated to the negation of the creator. The first sentence. Is it clear? There's no creator, therefore there's no creation. There's no jiva. Okay? There's no jiva who is created here because there's no cause. For jiva to be created, there must be cause. No, there's no cause. There's no cause. Karanam pratishiddhyate. This is the literal meaning of the mantra. So causal status attributed to Brahman is negated here in the second sentence. Who indeed will create this jiva? When he says, where is the cause? Okay. This is the literal meaning of the karika. Is it clear? It will become much clearer only when we do the bhashyam. That's why without bhashyam, we cannot really understand Gaudapada Acharya's heart. So, he explains here.
Brahma is considered as a jiva. This is the Brahma is considered to be the jiva.
No. What he says, there's no jiva at all. Okay, there's no jiva. There is no creation of jiva. There's no cause. See, there's a statement. No, wait. See, this is just a statement. Kaha nu enam janayet. So just a statement from the Upanishad. In that state Upanishad, he says, Gurubhajar takes that person, enam, the jiva, as a wise in jnani jiva. Okay. This person, jnani jiva, basically, is Brahman himself. The jnani, the person discovered, has to be the Brahman. Isn't it? Therefore, once you are, this jnani jiva is Brahma means, who else can recreate this wise person who has discovered himself to be the jnani, Brahman? He is himself a Brahman, which means there is no second thing other than Brahma to cause the creation of anything here. Even the ajnani jiva is as though born. Ajnani jiva's birth is because ajnanam caused birth. The birth of a jiva caused by ignorance is a seeming birth, not real birth. An ajnani jiva will not be born. Because he knows his birth is Brahma. Understand? Jnani Jiva cannot be born because he is free from ignorance. He is Brahma. Ajnani Jiva is born because of ignorance. Ignorance caused birth. A seeming birth. Therefore he says, there is no real cause at all. How are you going to understand this? See, it's only a sentence. We are going to understand these statements by going through the commentary. Okay? Let us wait for second sentence. Now, it will take very long. It will take time for us to understand only first sentence. Okay. See, in Ishavasya Upanishad, there's a statement. There's a mantra, 12th mantra. In the 12th mantra, there's a statement. The 12th mantra actually talks about the upasanam. Upasanam. Upasanam is a meditation upon Hiranyagarbha. Meditating upon Hiranyagarbha is Hiranyagarbha upasanam. Upas devata is Hiranyagarbha. Therefore, upasanam is Hiranyagarbha upasanam. In that context, it is said, if a person practices meditation upon Hiranyagarbha, the result is limited. If a person performs rituals, the result is limited. If a person combines the performance of ritual and the practice of meditation, then he gets better benefit. That benefit will enable a person, isn't it? Go to Brahmaloka, attain Brahma Hiranyagarbha status, etc. It is said. So mere practice of meditation is criticized to be inferior. Mere performance ritual is also criticized to be inferior. When they combined, they give the benefit of attainment of Hiranyagarbha position. This is discussed there. Okay. But what he says, that point he says, how it is criticized? It is andham tamah pravishanti ye sambhutim upasate. It's a statement from 12th mantra. See, the meaning given there is Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary on this statement in Ishavasya Upanishad is different from the commentary he gives on this same statement in this context. The vision is the same, but he interprets differently. There the purpose is different, here the purpose is different. So because Gaudapada Acharya has taken a statement to negate the creation, there it is used in a different sense. Therefore, Shankara Bhagavatpada also comments upon his statement in keeping with the context it is presented. Okay. Andham tamah pravishanti ye sambhutim upasate. What does it mean? Those people who meditate upon Sambhutihi. Sambhutihi is the name of Hiranyagarbha. Understand? Those who meditate upon Hiranyagarbha Devata. They andham tamaha pravishanti. They enter into andham tamaha. Darkness of ignorance. Andham tamaha pravishanti. They enter into darkness of ignorance. What does it mean? My God, meditation is supposed to be give me knowledge, supposed to uplift me. See, the result of meditation is condemned like this. We have to be very careful, okay? We have carefully interpret the mantras. Yea, sambhutim upasate. They andham tamaha pravishanti. Those people who meditate upon Hiranyagarbha, sambhutihi, they, as a result of meditation, they enter into the darkness of ignorance. What does it mean? Limitation of meditation is mentioned. Please understand. The practice of meditation is not belittled. It is not said to be useless. Here, very careful. The limitation of meditation is mentioned. Meditation cannot liberate a person. Meditation cannot give the knowledge. Meditation is a discipline recommended in the Shastram for steadying the unsteady mind. The discipline can only serve a given purpose. What can meditation do? That is the benefit. What meditation cannot do? That is the limitation. What meditation can do? It can be useful in preparing the mind for knowledge. It's a beautiful discipline. When it is practiced, it serves as a preparatory discipline. It can convert the indisciplined, restless mind into a calm mind. That's the benefit. But conversion of indisciplined mind into disciplined mind, converting the restless mind to a calm mind alone is not the goal. Okay, meditation has helped me. I'm no more restless. I'm no more agitated. I'm calm. If we say that itself is not the end, the means should not be mistaken for the end. Mental calmness, mental steadiness, mental pacification, which can be gained as a result of practice of meditation, is not an end by itself. It's only preparation for the knowledge. Preparation for the attainment of goal should not be mistaken for the attainment of goal. Carl went for a Passover program and sitting there and singing and listening to the stories in between singing, nice, everything, until food came. We had to wait, isn't it? So much of food was cooked. And then if we don't eat, what's the purpose of cooking? Isn't it? It's not incomplete, isn't it? In the same way here. Preparation. The upasanam is only for preparation. The reason should not be mistaken for the end. Why? Because upasanam being a mental activity, it's only a mental activity. Any activity is a product of ignorance. Any action is a product of ignorance. Any action is ignorance friendly. Okay? It can be physical activity, even mere mental activity also. The pure mental activity, meditation, does not involve body and speech. Still, being a pure mental activity, it helps you to focus on your mind, focus on thoughts. It helps you to be just manage it. Isn't it? Become steady. Therefore, being a mental activity, it is also product of ignorance. Therefore, meditation is not for the removal of ignorance. Meditation cannot take any distance from where you are. We say it's very painful for people who believe only meditation is everything. Meditation cannot remove ignorance. Therefore, we should not overvalue it as everything. What is it which can really liberate us? What is it which can remove the ignorance? Jnanam. Knowledge alone can remove ignorance. Therefore, knowledge of the truth obtaining as one's own self alone can remove ignorance. Therefore, it is the knowledge of Brahman, knowledge of the oneness of reality alone can liberate a person. Not meditation. Jnanam, Ekatva Jnanam can liberate. Upasanam cannot liberate. Upasanam, Jnanam, two words. Upasanam cannot liberate. Meditation can liberate. Jnanam alone can liberate. Adi kim jnanam? Brahma jnanam, ekatva jnanam, oneness of the reality. Therefore, and there, andham tamaha, mean they continue, people who practice meditation, and what will they get? They get the result, benefits of meditation, and to enjoy the benefits of result, benefits of meditation also, actions, karma phalam, and they must be born again. They must be in samsara only. See, enjoyment of result of any action implies remaining in samsara. Sukham or dukkham, isn't it? Punya karma or papa karma. Whatever karma you have results. Result of any action must be exhausted. For exhausting phalam, you must be in samsara. I don't want to be, I don't want to exhaust punya palam. I don't want to be born. That is not possible. Okay? Therefore, mere practice of meditation will retain a person in samsara. That is why it is said to be what now? Andham tamaha pravishanti ye sambhutim upasate. Why sambhuti? Whomever you meditate, you will remain in samsara. That is what why Sambhuti is said to be the exalted being, the first born, the create looked upon as the creator of the universe, exalted Devata, most exalted of all the natural phenomena, is na, looked upon as Hiranyagarbha. Aham, even Aham is Hiranyagarbha. Therefore, Sambhuti Upasanam, even if you practice also, you will remain in samsara. Iti sambhutehe upasyatva, sorry, sambhutehe upasyatva apavadat sambhavaha patishidhyate. What Shankaracharya shows here, come on. Sambhutehe upasyatva apavadat. Why should we waste your time in meditating upon Hiranyagarbha instead of making efforts for knowing the truth, isn't it? So through the negation of the meditation upon Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha himself is negated. By negating Hiranyagarbha, the very creation itself is negated. Sambhavaha pratishidhyate. Which means, what is the result here? Nahi paramarthataha. Paramarthataha sambhutayam sambhutau. Tad apavadaha upapadyate. If Sambhuti's birth was real, see, Hiranyagarbha known by the term Sambhuti is said to be the firstborn. If Hiranyagarbha's birth is real, if there is a manifestation of subtle reality, really, if there is real manifestation of subtle universe, the negation of Hiranyagarbha is not possible. Negation of the creation of the subtle universe is not possible if the creation of the subtle universe was real. There is no creation at all of anything. Therefore, there is no creation of the subtle universe also. If creation of the subtle universe was real, then negating it to be mithya is not possible. That's what he says here. Paramarthataha sambhutehe sambhutau sambhutayam paramarthataha tad apavadaha na upadyate. It is, the negation is not at all possible if the creation of subtle manifestation, subtle universe is real. There is no real creation of subtle universe. Okay. Now, in this contest, Purupakshi is very clever. He somehow wants to retain, for him, duality is real, the world is real. Okay, the creation is, he wants to hold on to that idea. He doesn't want to change his view. Okay, does not want to make efforts to know. So he says, Nanu vinashena sambhutehe samuchya vidyarthaha sambhutipavadaha. So what he says, let me tell you what it is clearly. In the Upanishad, okay, practice of meditation separately, without combining it with the performance of ritual, produces limited result. In the same way, performance of ritual without combining it with meditation also produces limited result. So, aspiring for limited result is condemned. For an intelligent person, you must aspire for a greater benefit. Why should one only perform rituals, only have limited result? Why should a person only practice meditation, have limited result? If you combine performance of rituals involve physical oral activities also, along with the mental activity. In the performance of rituals, all the three karanams are used. Body, mind and speech. All three are involved in performing rituals. In practice of meditation, only one karanam is used. Mind alone is used. So meditation is purely a mental activity, whereas performance of ritual involves body, mind and speech. When a person combines these performance of ritual and, okay, along with the practice of meditation, it is said to be karma upasana samuchayaha. Karma upasana samuchayaha. Combination of practice of meditation with the performance of ritual. Combining. You combine both. Practice meditation, perform rituals also. It's called upasana karma samuchayaha. Karma upasana samuchayaha. Please make a note, the word jnanam also means upasana. Okay? You can say jnana karma. That's why specifically I want to use the word upasana karma samuchayaha. It's called a synthesis of meditation and ritual. And they may combined simultaneously. Simultaneous combination of karma and upasanam, meditation and rites, performance of rites, rituals, is said to be sama samuchayaha. Sama samuchayaha. Simultaneous combination of meditation and rituals called sama samuchayaha. That is recommended in the shastram. If a person, synthesis of meditation and performance of ritual, if he combines, what is the benefit? He earns limitless benefit. Limitless means what? He can get more benefit, greater benefit, that he will be eligible, he can earn punyam to be eligible to travel through good gatis, go to higher lokas, even go to a world of Brahma loka, and one can have the status of being even Hiranyagarbha. And remaining in Brahma loka as Hiranyagarbha, okay, means having apekshika mokshaha, temporary freedom for long time. One can avoid this samsara for some time. Okay? It's like having a longest holiday. Longest holiday. Because it's countless number of years constitute one day of Brahma, isn't it? After one kalpa, that's why it is said. Anyway, what I want to say is, so there, in the mantra number 12, meditation, only practicing only meditation is condemned, saying, oh, this person will remain in samsara forever. Andham tamaha pravishanti. In the same way, it's also said another mantra, if a person performs only ritual, he'll remain in samsara forever. Just to encourage, to support the idea of synthesizing karma with upasanam, the Hiranyagarbha's upasanam is condemned, criticized. That's all. That's a fact. That's a fact also. So, Purapakshi is very smart. He says, negation of Hiranyagarbha upasanam. Condemning Hiranyagarbha, what does that mean? When the Hiranyagarbha upasanam is condemned, what does it mean? Hiranyagarbha itself is condemned. Is it? Meditation upon Hiranyagarbha is condemned means Hiranyagarbha is condemned. When Hiranyagarbha is condemned, the creation is also becomes negated. Condemning means negated as mithya. Well, he doesn't want to say that. He wants to say, no, that negation of Hiranyagarbha, condemnation of the mere meditation is only to say that it must be combined with the karma. But he says, explain that. Vina sambhutehe, please be very careful. The word vinashaha in that context means, those who are following Sanskritam, please be very careful. If you have studied this Upanishad with me, it's okay earlier. If you remember that, very good. Otherwise, the word vinashaha means karma. Vinashaha literally means destruction. My God. But here in Ishavasya Upanishad, the word karma is meant by the word vinashaha. Be careful. Sambhutehe vinashena samuchaya vidyartaha sambhuti apavadaha. He says, negation of Hiranyagarbha is actually for recommending the Shruti's prescription of synthesis of meditation with performance of ritual. The word vinashaha means karma. Understand? Karma ritual. The negation of Hiranyagarbha there is specifically through the negation of meditation, condemnation of meditation is only for encouraging, supporting the Shruti's emphasis of the synthesis of meditation with karma. Yatha andham tamaha pravishanti ye avidyam upasate. Again, is avidya also means, the word ignorance also means karma. In the same way, another mantra, ninth mantra of the Upanishad, Ishavasya Upanishad, is also said, those who only perform ritual, only perform ritual also, enter into the darkness of ignorance. The two mantras in the Upanishad, in two different factors are said, those who practice, perform only rituals enter into the darkness of ignorance. Those who practice only meditation enter into the world of darkness, which means the mere practice of meditation is condemned, mere performance of ritual is condemned. By condemning mere practice of meditation, mere performance of ritual, Upanishad actually emphasize the prescription of synthesis of meditation and ritual. So this is a fact also. this poor Pakshi prays. The condemnation is for that only, not for saying there is no creation. See, Shankara Bhagavatpada uses that statement. Gaudapada Acharya uses that statement where Hiranyagarbha meditation is condemned, where Hiranyagarbha is condemned, isn't it? That he, Gaudapacharya, uses to say negate the creation. But he says, it's only for, that was mentioned for different purpose, not for negation of creation. Do you get what I'm saying? Of course, in the Upanishad, it was mentioned for that only. Mere practice of meditation is condemned. Mere practice of performance of ritual is also condemned, emphasizing the synthesis, combination of both. But Shankara, here Gaudapada Acharya says, when the upasanam is condemned, upasa devata is also condemned. Meditation is condemned means the object of meditation is also condemned. Why meditation is condemned? Because meditation cannot remove ignorance. Meditation cannot remove ignorance. Therefore, meditation can produce beautiful results. It will retain a person in samsara forever. So, Shrinivadpada now gives the poor Pakshis. Now he has to be answered now. Satyameva. Appa. First time he says na. Always na. Na he says. First time he agrees with the poor Pakshi. Satyameva. Yes. Of course, you what to say is 100% correct. What to say is 100% correct. Yes. If mere practice of meditation, okay, will retain a person samsara. Mere performance of rituals will retain a person samsara. If they combine and they can really earn punyam, they can go to Brahmaloka. And even there, they have to attain jnanam to attain freedom. Isn't it? Okay. What Shankaracharya says, let us read here. Satyameva. Yes, true. Devata darshanasya. Sambhuti vishayasya vinasha sabda vachyasya karmanaha samuchay vidhanartha sambhuti pavadaha. He agrees 100% with the Purupakshi, stating sambhuti pavadaha, negation of Hiranyagarbha in that particular Upanishad, okay? In Ishavasya Upanishad, definitely negation of that particular verse where Hiranyagarbha is negated. Negation of Hiranyagarbha is meant for emphasizing this synthesis. Samuchaya Vidhanartha. Samuchaya Vidhanam, prescription of synthesis. Samuchaya means synthesis. Combination, combining, isn't it? Samuchaya vidhanartha. Sambhuti bhavadaha. What you are saying is true. The negation of Hiranyagarbha, negation of sambhuti in that mantra, through the negation of the practice of upasanam is for emphasizing, okay, the prescription of synthesis of ritual, performance of ritual meant by the word vinasha. Okay, the ritual is meant by the word vinasha. Okay, performance of ritual with practice of meditation of Hiranyagarbha. Devata darshanam is the word used by Shankaracharya here. Devata darshan means visualizing the devata. Visualizing devata means what? Upasana. Saguna Brahma upasana. Okay? దేవతా దర్శనం ఇస్ ఈక్వల్ టు సగుణ బ్రహ్మ ఉపాసనం. సగుణ బ్రహ్మ విజువలైజింగ్ ది హిరణ్య గర్భ, మెడిటేషన్ అపాన్ హిరణ్య గర్భ. సో దేవతా దర్శనం, సో మెడిటేషన్ అపాన్ దేవత, ది మెడిటేషన్ ఫర్ విచ్ ది ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ మెడిటేషన్ ఇస్ హిరణ్య గర్భ సంభూతి. సంభూతి విషయ దేవతా దర్శనం మీన్స్ మెడిటేషన్ హ్యావింగ్ హిరణ్య గర్భ యాజ్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ మెడిటేషన్, దాట్ మెడిటేషన్ షుడ్ బి కంబైన్డ్ విత్ వాట్ ది పర్ఫార్మెన్స్ ఆఫ్ రిచువల్. దిస్ ఇస్ ది ఎంఫసిస్. ఫర్ దిస్ పర్పస్ అలోన్ ద మియర్ ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆఫ్ మెడిటేషన్ ఈస్ కండెమ్డ్. ట్రూ హీ సేస్. తథాపి ఈవెన్ దెన్ వినాశాక్యస్య కర్మణః స్వాభావిక అజ్ఞాన ప్రవృత్తి రూపస్య మృత్యో అతితరణార్థత్వవత్ దేవతా దర్శన కర్మ సముచ్చయస్య పురుష సంస్కారార్థస్య కర్మఫలరాగ ప్రవృత్తి రూపస్య సాధ్య సాధన ఏష్ణాద లక్షణస్య మృత్యో అతితరణార్థత్వం. హీ సేస్ అప్పా, హీ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్స్, డోంట్ వరీ, లాంగ్ సెంటెన్స్. వాట్ హీ సేస్, లెట్ మీ టెల్ యూ ఈజీలీ కరెక్ట్లీ. ఓకే, వాట్ హీ సేస్, ఎస్ ట్రూ, మృత్యోహో అతితరణార్థత్వం. ప్లీజ్ మేక్ అ నోట్, ద వర్డ్ మృత్యు ఇన్ ఈశావాస్య ఉపనిషద్ మీన్స్ ఇంప్యూరిటీ. ఇఫ్ యు రీడ్ ద హోల్ ఇట్ లుక్స్ యాస్ దో వెరీ బిగ్. ఫర్ ద సేక్ ఆఫ్ హ్యావింగ్ ది జాయ్ ఆఫ్ మేకింగ్ ఆల్ లిసన్ టు సంస్కృతం, ఐఎమ్ రీడింగ్ ఇట్ అవుట్. టు బి ఫ్రాంక్, వాట్ ఈస్ కన్వేడ్, లెట్ మీ టెల్ యూ. ద వర్డ్ మృత్యు మీన్స్ ఇన్ ఈశావాస్య ఉపనిషత్ నాట్ డెత్. మృత్యు మీన్స్ లిటరలీ మీన్స్ డెత్. ఇట్ మీన్స్ ఇంప్యూరిటీస్. నో వాట్ ఈస్ ఇంప్యూరిటీ? ఇంప్యూరిటీస్ క్రేవింగ్, లాంగింగ్, ప్యాషన్. ప్యాషన్, క్రేవింగ్, లాంగింగ్ ఈజ్ ఇంప్యూరిటీ. లాంగింగ్ ఫర్ వాట్? లాంగింగ్ ఫార్ మీన్స్ అండ్ ఎండ్స్. క్రేవింగ్ ఫార్ మీన్స్ అండ్ ఎండ్స్. మీన్స్ అండ్ ఎండ్స్ మీన్స్ వాట్? పర్ఫార్మెన్స్ ఆఫ్ రిచువల్స్, ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆఫ్ మెడిటేషన్, ద మీన్స్. ఎండ్స్ ఆర్ వాట్? గో టు బ్రహ్మలోక, హ్యావ్ అటెండ్ డాన్స్ ప్రోగ్రామ్ ఆఫ్ రంభా ఊర్వశి. ఓకే, ఎంజాయ్మెంట్ ఆఫ్ హెవెన్లీ ప్లెషెస్. ఎంజాయ్మెంట్ ఆఫ్ హెవెన్లీ ప్లెషెస్, ఎంజాయ్మెంట్ ఆఫ్ ప్లెషెస్ హియర్. అర్థ కామాస్, అర్థ కామాస్ ఆర్ ద మీన్స్. ఆల్ ఫార్మ్స్ ఆఫ్ వెల్త్ అండ్ ప్రాపర్టీ అండ్ ఎంజాయ్మెంట్ ఆఫ్ ప్లెషెస్, అర్థ కామాస్ ఆర్ ద రిజల్ట్స్. టైమ్ బౌండ్ మెటీరియల్ రిజల్ట్స్, మెటీరియల్ రిజల్ట్స్ ఇన్ ది హోమ్ ఆఫ్ అర్థ కామాస్, అకాంప్లిష్మెంట్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ అండ్ ఆల్సో ఇన్ ది హయ్యర్ వరల్డ్స్. దేర్ ఆల్ వాట్ నౌ? They are all objects of desires, isn't it? So craving for time bound material results in terms of artha kamas will retain a person, will make a person subject to death. Therefore all they said to be impurity. Longing is said to be impurity, craving is said to be impurity. The shastram does not say it is wrong to have a desire, please understand. Just teaching here, sir, okay? Desire, passion, craving, longing is impurity. Longing for the means and ends in the performance of ritual, practice of meditation and accomplishment of results of those means and ends. So, mrityoho అతితరణార్థత్వం మీన్స్ వాట్? ఓవర్కమింగ్, గెట్టింగ్ రిడ్ ఆఫ్ ఇంప్యూరిటీ, గెట్టింగ్ ఇట్. సో ది ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆఫ్ మెడిటేషన్, పర్ఫార్మెన్స్ ఆఫ్ రిచువల్, వెన్ దే కంబైన్డ్, ఓకే కంబైన్డ్, అ పర్సన్ దే సర్వ్ యాజ్ అ ప్రిపరేటరీ డిసిప్లిన్. పర్ఫార్మెన్స్, కాంబినేషన్ ఆఫ్ పర్ఫార్మెన్స్ ఆఫ్ రిచువల్ and practice karma and practice of meditation together serves as a means of mental preparation. Got it now? Means of mental preparation means what? it has the status of being the remover of impurities. See, this only can remove the impurity meant by the word of death. Impurity in the form of longing, passion. For this means an ends. If the impurity goes, the passion for, passion, longing, craving for this means an ends. In the artha kamas, if longing goes, means there will be dispassion. When will the dispassion will go, dispassion will come? Only if a person understands the limitations of artha kamas. So performance of rituals, practice of meditation, okay, have this, they serve as disciplines for helping any person. They help person become intellectually sharp, emotionally stable. The way they can help a person have viveka, the discriminative understanding of what is permanent, what is impermanent is possible. Okay, only if a person has lived a clean life, these help. So practice of meditation, performance of ritual, serve as a preparatory means that they help a person have viveka, discriminative understanding. Now the person does not have viveka. Now every human being is by birth aviveki. Aviveki means what? Deluded minded. Modaha. So a deluded minded person must become a person of discriminative understanding. He doesn't have the discriminative understanding. So he says, Veda Shastram prescribes the rituals, prescribes meditations as preparatory disciplines. So these preparatory disciplines in terms of performance of rituals and practice of meditation help a person have viveka. By making a person have viveka, isn't it? It removes the delusion in terms of what is permanent, what is impermanent. Thereby, they help him discover dispassion towards time-bound results. And by way of helping a person discover dispassion towards all those time-bound results, they remove the impurity in the form of passion. The way he says, the whole paragraph looks very big, but beautiful words actually. That's what he means. Okay? They can only, what can meditation and karma do? Upasam and karma, what they can do, what they cannot do. What they can do? They can remove only the impurity in the form of passion, impurity in the form of craving, longing for means and ends, for the, in the form of artha kamas. When will a person become free from craving? When he knows the limitations, what they can give, what they cannot give. Isn't it? To know that, the person should have what? Viveka. So to have viveka, to have the discriminative understanding of what is permanent, what is impermanent, permanent alone can give me permanent freedom, permanent happiness, impermanent cannot give me permanent happiness, to have this viveka, thereby to become dispassionate, to discover dispassion, to be free from passion, these play a great role. This upasana and karma serve as an amazing means. There's no choice. Okay? That is why we put together, we say what? Karma yoga. A worshipfully, prayerfully, when you do all mundane activities also, it becomes karma yoga. A preparatory discipline. That's all. But this itself, upasam itself cannot liberate you. Upasanam cannot remove ignorance, cannot free you from bondage. It cannot give you moksha, it cannot give you jnanam also. This is the limitation of upasanam. But what is the benefit then? That way it says, mrityu atitaranarthatvam. It has the status, these two together. The synthesis of karma and upasanam has the status of being the remover of mrityu. Mrityu means impurity in the form of longing, craving. What time bound ends? Okay, now he himself is, if a person, why Shastram recommends that? He says, so in the Ishavasya Upanishad, by condemning the mere practice of meditation, by condemning mere practice of performance of ritual, encouraging a person to synthesize both karma and upasanam, the Upanishad wants the person to become only prepared. That it can help a person have mental purification. Mental purification. It serves as a means of mental purification. So upasanam, which is prescribed for mental purification, karma, which is prescribed for mental purification, should not be mistaken as the means of the accomplishing the ultimate. Only do only mental preparation. The mental preparation in terms of mental purification. Then what happens if a person becomes free from craving for the twofold, okay, desire in terms of means and ends? What happens? He says, Yeshana daya rupat mrityoho ashuddehe viyuktaha. So being purged, being purified of the impurities in the form of longing for these time-bound results, in the form of means and ends, the person becomes samskritaha. The person becomes refined. He becomes the person of refined personality. Isn't it? See, practice of meditation, performance of rituals, isn't it, in due course of time, removes the impurity in the form of longing and craving and passion for time-bound ends. In the form of means and ends, thereby the person becomes samskritaha. The person becomes a refined person. Refined person. Ataha, therefore, mrityoho atitaranartha devata darshana karma samuchaya lakshana hi avidya. So what is the pulp? He makes this Purapakshi understand, come on, this performance of ritual and practice of meditation, devata darshana karma samuchaya lakshana avidya. Okay. He says, it's within the realm of ignorance only. Practice of meditation, performance of ritual, synthesis of these both, which is, okay, still ignorance only. Why? It is only for the purpose of removal of the impurity in the form of passion, craving, longing, desire for means and ends. What does it mean? This synthesis of karma and upasanam is not meant for removal of ignorance. It is not meant for attainment of freedom. It's only for the purpose of removal of impurity. Is it clear now? So this is the content here. Nothing much. So, mrityoho atitaranarthatvam. My God, overcoming death means what? Death is not real death here. Okay, the word mrityuhu means impurity. And the impurity is what? What is impurity? Can you use the soap and wash it? Any impurity, any dirt can be removed, isn't it? With soap, washing. No, this mental impurity. What is mental impurity? Longing, craving. Craving for what? Craving for means and ends. Means and ends are in form of what? In the form of all forms of, no? The rituals, meditation and the results of, in the form of arthakamas. This will remove. The person becomes, when the person becomes dispassionate, discovers dispassion is a maturity. And the discovery of dispassion is possible. When a person has viveka, discriminative understanding, that viveka is possible only when a person lives a clean, okay, really lives a worshipful life. And living a worshipful life means combining performance of rituals with practice of meditation. That's why, in fact, Panology uses the term worship itself. It doesn't even use the term meditation. In the place of Upas, Devata, Darshanam, is worship of Ishwara, worship of Devata. See, you live a worshipful life. Living a worshipful life is for mental purification. Actually, this for Viveka. Viveka will bless a person with dispassion. And so being dispassionate means what? That is when a person discovers dispassion, the person will have what? Craving for, passion for knowledge. Unless and until, see, even yesterday, I think I did Bhagavad Gita Bhashyam, beautiful. In the Bhashyam that Shankaracharya explains very beautifully, in my Gita class I explained, when I did the commentary, Shankara's commentary on the verse, Shrotavyasya Shruta Nirvedam Ayati. Shrotavya Shrutasya. When he says, Shruti Vipratipannate Yadasthasyati Nischala Samadha Vachala Buddhihi Tada Yogam Avapsisi. Arjuna asks the question. Suppose the question comes. As part of the teaching, he says, when will a person becomes really meditative? Really contemplative. When a person becomes contemplative, I'm explaining this part of this teaching today. The same teaching comes here. When a person becomes contemplative, no doubt, it will result in what? Ascertainment of the truth. Your contemplation is for what? Ascertainment of the truth. Being contemplative means what? Being able to focus one's attention in one's own nature. Repeatedly seeing one's real nature. Repeatedly seeing one's real nature means being capable of focusing one's attention in one's real nature. Which means you must have known your real nature. Having understood one's real nature, one must be able to focus on one's real nature also. That is being contemplative. And this understanding of one's real nature and placing attention on one's real nature is being contemplative. That is possible only if you are a distraction-free person. But what happens? We are so distracted towards everything in the world. We are very naturally distracted. So, nowadays we have so many things to distract us. So many things distract us, isn't it? Those days also, in Vedic period also, what were distractions? Karma, Upasana, Kandas were distractions. Twitter, Facebook, isn't it? WhatsApp, YouTube, newspapers, for us, countless number of distractions nowadays we have. In Vedic period, nothing was here. Still there were distractions. Because they had knowledge of karma, upasana, kanda. Perform this ritual, you will get this result. Perform this ritual, If you want lot of money, perform this ritual. If you want to get a beautiful wife, do this puja. Okay? Benefits, 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 benefits. Countless number of benefits. It's like getting into IKEA, not knowing what to buy, what not to buy. Isn't it? So benefits. And karma, upasana, khandas talk so many benefits of rituals and upasanas. You go crazy, my God, whether you had list do this or do this, which should I get first? I don't have no time to do everything together, isn't it? People will grow crazy because we are ignorant of karma, upasana, khandas. We have some other distractions, okay? We are troubled. Other problem. So, he says, Shruti vipratipanna te buddhi. Your intellect, which is highly distracted, disturbed by various rituals and meditations within the karma upasana khandas. Okay? What happens now? Vipratipanna means, which is no more distracted. No more drawn, pulled towards it. Why? Because you become, you know, dispassionate. Only a dispassionate person will not be attracted towards anything in the world. And becoming dispassionate means one of the limitations. To know the limitations, one should have discriminative understanding. To have discriminative understanding, no way you have to perform karma, practice meditation. Now, I think I have to explain this paragraph. I only given the Sara essence. We have come back and explain tomorrow every word. Okay? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamodachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.